Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
We are here this evening to minister a very old hymn, but very powerful and potent message, because we all are in need of peace. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace that God gives it. And so we want to share with you this evening wonderful peace. We pray that your hearts are blessed.
Can we all stand as we sing the song of meditation?
Creator God, the giver and the sustainer of life. We are so grateful this evening that we can call you Abba Father. And so, your believing children, we bow in your presence under this canvas cathedral, and our hearts go out to you in praise and in thanksgiving for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. You have been so good to us. Thank you, Lord. We claim forgiveness of sins and cleansing through the blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, now. We ask you, O Father, to cover us with his righteousness and to accept us for his sake. Again, as we open your word, O God, we ask that you'd open our minds and open our understanding. Help us again to be willing to learn and willing to obey. Oh God, minister unto us in a way you alone can do, we ask tonight. And lead us into a saving relationship with Jesus. And so we wait, giving you praise and giving you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. The name of Jesus. As we always say when I come here, God is, and all the time. All right, let's go. We do it how many times? Three times. Okay, God is good, and all the time. God is good, and all the time. Okay, God is good, and all the time. Praise God. I'm sure you are happy to be here this evening. Amen? Yes. We thank God for another privilege to worship and to praise and to listen to his word. It's a divine privilege. Amen? Amen. And so we thank you for coming this evening. I want to thank those who are responsible for our decorations. They have done a wonderful job. Now, so put your hands together for them. Come on, put your hands together for them. I want to thank those on the PA system. They are doing a wonderful job. Amen. Put your hands together for them. Yes, I thank those musicians and those team members. Put your hands together for them. I thank our sister here on the multimedia. Amen. Put your hands together for her. And those wonderful ushers and those at the registration desk. Put your hands together for them. And for put your hands together for yourselves, all of us who are just giving the support to God's work as we ought to be doing. Amen? Amen. Just giving God's work the support so that souls, men and women, boys and girls, can be blessed. I'm especially privileged tonight to have with me my wife and my daughter. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so I'm especially happy tonight. Amen. Are you happy for the evangelist who is happy? Are you happy for the evangelist who is happy? Yes. All right. Now, I'm happy, Pastor, every night, you know, but I'm happier tonight. Amen. So, Sister Richards, Junior and Senior, just stand, let the folks see you. Yeah, just stand, let the folks see you. Amen. 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 It's good to have, them with us this evening. And, of course, all those who have come again this evening with me on Christ for the Crisis, Gospel Explosion Caravan. Amen. 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 God's blessings, and I recognize all of you this evening. Amen. Now, the transport man is Pastor Sin Bernard, okay? You need to know Pastor Sin Bernard is a transport person, and so he will be giving you more and more details about transport. But I just want to quickly, of course, commend those who are already at work transporting, coming all the way from Erin to bring folks to this tent. Put your hands together for them. I'm seeing two Maxis. Put your hands together for them, for those who have organized such. And so from tomorrow night, we are going to be having a Maxi coming from the Pinal Rock way all the way down Pinal Rock to Pinal all the way here. Amen? Amen? All right, so put your hands together for those who are organizing that Maxi. All right, so I've made the announcement, Sister Collins. Make contact with those who are to be contacted. Let's ensure that Maxi is filled to capacity and we are needing another Maxi. Amen? Yes. Amen? Yes. All right, and Pastor Williams, I'm laying hands on you suddenly. We need to have a Cyperia around the tongue Maxi. We need a Cyperia around the tongue Maxi. Am I making sense? Yes. Am I making sense? Because from what I'm seeing there, we do not have public transport of any kind. So we need a around the tongue Cyperia Maxi, bringing folks from in and around Cyperia out here. Amen? So we are hoping that we will get that in place by tomorrow evening. Amen? Yes. I am promising you that by faith. By faith. Yes, I'm promising you that by faith that we'll get that in place from tomorrow evening. I always forget to bring my timepiece with me, and so I have to always be borrowing a watch from somebody. The truth is I really don't keep watch on my hand. And what happens to me is that at the end of every crusade, they give me a watch because I'm always borrowing watch. So they conclude that the pastor needs a watch, you know. So I'm trying to keep on time and not wear out the saints of the Most High. Amen. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay, beautiful. Now we want to put in place a welfare barrel here. In every program like this, we put in place a welfare barrel. And we ask those who are attending to bring a little something by way of dry food stuff so that we can put together food hampers for those who attend the crusade who may have such a need. Is that a good idea? Is that a good idea? All right, so I'm appealing to my community services leaders who are here. I don't know who you are, but I'm appealing to you to get that barrel in place, so that we could begin to bring dry food stuff and put together food hampers for those who are coming. Note I'm saying, those who are what? Coming to the crusade. So we are not taking food hampers home to people who are not coming here. We are helping those folks who are coming here. Amen? Amen? As was mentioned before, we are giving them spiritual food, and we are going to be helping them also get some physical food. Amen? All right, so as early as tomorrow night, if we can have, I know in our churches, we have those Bibles, somebody pick up one, get it out here, and let's get that going, amen? Amen. All right, lastly, we mentioned we are going to be giving you prizes. Pastor has been talking about it. We are going to be giving you prizes for bringing persons here. Now, the first prize for what I am calling our popularity contest is going to be a dual SIM Android cell phone. Now, I am saying that as an evangelist. And through my years, I always keep my promise. So, a dual SIM Android cell phone will be the first prize. We are giving you that. And what we are doing when you register, we'll take note of how many persons you brought. So, when you come at night and you bring persons, get to the registration table, give your name, tell them there how many persons you brought. Amen? Amen? And when we come here, we will recognize you, recognize your persons, and we will ensure that we are doing this honestly and transparently. Amen? 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 Amen. All right. So that begins officially from tomorrow night. All right, beautiful. Now, from tomorrow night, Pastor, I'm going to be coming up here with Pastor Williams when he's doing his promotion. So when I come to preach, I would not be doing promotions. I'll come with you, and we will do all our promotions. And when the preacher comes to preach, he will be going straight into the Word of God. Amen? Amen. 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 I heard Pastor Williams trying to raise a song. I don't think I'm a better singer than him, but I believe he was trying to raise one of those, you know, well-known songs from Pastor Morgan's crusade, right? I don't wanna be left out. I don't wanna be left out. I don't wanna be left out. Out of the kingdom of... Am I going okay? I don't wanna be left... Join me, join me. I don't wanna be left out. I don't wanna be left out. Out of the kingdom of God. Amen? 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 I love that song. We are going to be singing it all the time because it expresses the sentiments of our hearts that we don't want to be left out of the kingdom of God. Humpty Dumpty. I don't know what they teach children in school these days, Dr. Henderson. I'm not a teacher, but I know when I went to school, we had nursery rhymes. Is that so? We had nursery rhymes. And one of them was this nursery rhyme about Humpty Dumpty. So those of you who know it can help me, can join with me. Let's go. Humpty Dumpty sat upon a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. Let's try it again. Humpty Dumpty sat upon a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. I was in a maxi one day when I heard this song. It was written by B.B. Winans.
Said you've heard this story once before.
He's going to be playing it for us later on. Yes, I heard it in a maxi, and I listened. And the Spirit of God told me this song expresses entitled Humpty Dumpty. You see, the Bible tells us in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. As we examine the book of Genesis from chapter 1, we discover the creation story. And we discover there God taking his time and in 6 days creating the heavens and the earth. And when we come at the end of Genesis chapter 1 to verse 31, the Bible says something there. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. How was it tonight?
Very good.
How was it?
Very good.
And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The Bible therefore makes it clear that God's creation was perfect. God created everything in perfect order. All that came from God came in a state of perfection. Amen?
Amen.
And so God described it as being very good. Everything was perfect. There was perfect order and beauty and symmetry and harmony in God's creation. But then the Bible tells us, as we move quickly down to chapter 3 of Genesis, there was a disruption in God's order and harmony. You see, like Humpty Dumpty, there was a great fall. Somebody listen to me tonight. I said, like Humpty Dumpty, there was a great fall. Man created noble and perfect. But then Genesis chapter 3 introduces the sad reality that man fell. The Bible says in verse 1 of Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea. Now you can read it with me. It's on the screen. You can read it with me. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye do what? Touch it, lest ye die. Let's go on tonight. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be what? Opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was what? Pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They came from the hand of God. 7 tells us that God stooped down and formed man of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis chapter 1 makes it clear that God commanded, he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. In other words, God called many other things into being. He said, let there be light, and there was light. But when it came to man, the word says that God got down close up and personal, and he put his hand in the clay and formed man of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul made in the image and likeness of God. God. Hallelujah. I say, made in the image and likeness of God, man came from the hand of God. Special, therefore, man stood out among God's creation. Man was intelligent. Man had a brain with the ability to communicate with God, to understand the things of God, and to speak with God, and to walk with God, and to talk with God. The Bible says, therefore, that Adam and Eve would have had that experience where they would have been walking with God and talking with God and doing so face to face. But then they disobeyed the command of God. They took from that which God said to them they should not have taken. They disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, something happened. One writer said that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, their spiritual natures died. The image of God was defaced in them and well nigh obliterated, so that man who was created to walk and talk with God became fit company only for demons. His nature was polluted. His desires, they were now disordered. And three things happened. Three things. One, man became afraid of God. Two, man became guilty before God. And three, man became ashamed. So there was guilt, there was shame, and there was fear. Guilt, shame, and fear stepped in. The Bible makes it clear that it was there. As we read the word carefully, the word tells us that they sowed fig leaves to cover their nakedness, to cover their shame. The Bible says that he heard the voice of God. They heard the voice of God, and they were what? Afraid. And when they were questioned, I don't have time to read all of it. They were questioned. Adam blamed. Adam blamed Eve. And Eve blamed the serpent. And so while they were created perfect after sin, they lost their high standing before God. Like Humpty Dumpty, they had a great fall. And so now there was a distance between man and his God. Now his nature was changed. Now he knew what sin was. Now he knew what rebellion. Now he had taken a stand on the side of the devil. Now he had become an enemy of God. Now he had become rebellious. Now there was a gulf between him and God. And therefore, all those who came from the loins of Adam and Eve down to the corridors of time, every human being that came into the world separated from God, alienated from God, came into the world born in sin and shapen in iniquity, came into the world broken. And so tonight, every human being is in a broken state tonight. Every human being, every baby who comes out of the womb of a mother comes out in a broken condition. I say a broken condition, separated from God, having a demonic propensity, a demonic leaning against God, away from God. You don't have to teach a child to sin. You don't have to teach a child to tell lies. You don't have to teach a child to be deceptive, do you? And so that's the condition of the man tonight, outside of Jesus, fallen, broken tonight. And God said to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15, as he was speaking to the serpent directly and to them indirectly, that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. The seed of the woman will crush your head, God was saying to the devil. Even though you will bruise his heel, he will get a wound, but it will not be a wound. But the wound that he will give to you, that you will be afflicted with, would be a deadly, deadly, deadly wound. From then, God has been offering salvation. I said, from then, God has been offering a solution, a way whereby man could be put back together again. I'm saying, from then, God has been offering to mankind a way to be made whole again. But down through the corridors of time, men have rejected that which God has been offering. And like Adam and Eve, they have been trying to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. I said, I've been trying to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. In other words, I'm saying they have been trying to cover their nakedness with that which is inadequate. I say that which is inadequate, because just as fig leaves would be green in the morning but dried up by noonday, man's effort to put himself back together again, man's effort to find meaning in life, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about putting yourself back together again. You see, God created man, and when he created man, man came into the world with a high self-esteem. When man came into the world feeling comfortable, feeling loved, feeling appreciated, feeling wanted, man came into the world with perfect companionship. There was no loneliness, but after the fall, man became lonely. Man became alienated from God and from his fellow men. And so when I'm talking about brokenness, I'm talking about man's condition of being in sin and iniquity. And when I'm talking about man's trying to put himself back together, you see, somebody must understand tonight that the reason that person is on drugs is because that person is trying to cope with life's challenges. I'm saying that person is using alcohol because that person is trying to find a way to cope with life's challenges. And so, since COVID-19, we have seen an escalation in the use of drugs. An escalation in the use of alcohol, because millions now, because of the pressures of COVID, because of what they have lost, some have lost money, others have lost cars, others have lost houses, some have lost their spouses, others have lost loved ones. Husbands died, wives died, fathers died, grandparents died. COVID devastated the world, and millions found themselves alone and lonely. Millions were unable, they were not even given the privilege because of COVID-19 to bring closure at the death of their loved ones. Millions just had to be told that their loved ones, they were dead and they were buried. And so tonight, there are broken persons who are trying to put themselves together, trying to find meaning and purpose, trying to find joy and true and lasting happiness. And they are using that which they think will give them that. I said they are using that which they think will give them that. They are using that which can help them in some cases get up out of their minds, so that if they could be intoxicated for so long a time, then they would not have that challenge of dealing with that which is troubling their minds. So some are using drugs to find that peace, alcohol to find that peace. Some are being promiscuous to find that peace. Some are looking for that peace and that meaning in life. Some are looking for acceptance by engaging in illicit, careless, and reckless sexual activity. Many young women are just living and sleeping with Tom, Dick, and Harry because somehow they are trying to find somebody who could love them. That's because of brokenness. I'm saying that's because of what? Of brokenness. So many are trying what is failing them. The Bible says of Solomon that King Solomon tried all those things, and all those things failed him. He tried money. He tried women. He tried parties. He tried alcohol and drugs. Tried all those things in his quest for true and lasting happiness in his brokenness. And at the end, he has claimed that all those things are but vanity and vexation of spirit. In other words, in the end, he said that those things will continue to fail you. You would be like reaching out, you know. As a little boy, I remember we would go out there and try to catch butterfly. Do I have a witness here tonight? Do little boys still try to catch butterflies? Let me see. Do we have any young boys here? 7, 8, 9 years? Let me see. Any young boy? Little boy? 8, 9 years? Lift your hand. Do you try to catch butterflies? No. But in our time as little boys, that was fun, Pastor St. Bernard, to try to catch butterflies and what we call butty mamsels. I don't know if that's a term you are acquainted with, right? Butterflies and butty mamsels. We would try to catch them as they would light on the flower. We would sneak up. And most times when we were almost there, they would fly away. Isn't that so, Freddy? We had that kind of experience. For many in life, that's what they are doing by reaching for, looking for joy and happiness and purpose. They are using things, but just when they think that they are there, it escapes them. And so thousands tonight, I'm talking about persons who made it big in life. Persons who made millions, who are millionaires and billionaires tonight, many of them have killed themselves. Many of them have gotten filthy rich, thinking that money would have brought them true and lasting happiness. But having gotten to that place of being filthy rich, they realized they were still empty and miserable, and many of them took their own lives. Well, many others found themselves in mental institutions. All the money in the world, but out of their minds. While others died as a result of drug overuse and drug overdose because they had all this money, but they are still looking for something that money cannot give them. They are searching in vain. Tonight this preacher has come by to let you know that true and lasting happiness, joy and happiness and meaning and purpose in life cannot be found in things. It cannot be found in money. It cannot be found in cheap sex tonight. It cannot be found in drugs. This preacher has come by here to let you know that it can only be found in the man Christ Jesus. I said a man. And nice Jesus. He is the only one who can give us true meaning in life. He is the only one who can give us true purpose in life. He is the only one who can put us back together again. You see, the problem with Humpty Dumpty and the king's horses and the king's men is that they were calling upon the wrong king. Listen to me, somebody, tonight. I said they were calling upon the wrong king, because I know a king. Listen to me, somebody. I know a king who could put your life back together again. I know a king. I know a king who can move you from being a vagrant tonight. I know a king who can pick you up from where you are. He can wash you up. He can clothe you well. He can have you smelling well. I know a king who can save from the guttermost to the uppermost. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. A name that is above every other name. I said his name is Jesus. I said his name is Jesus. A name that is above every other name. And the word says that at the name of Jesus, help me somebody, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee got to be bent, at the name of Jesus, every head got to bow, at the name of Jesus, every demon must flee. No devil can stand in the presence of Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus tonight. I'm talking about Jesus tonight. He can put your life back together again. The Bible tells us that he did it. Yes, he did it for a woman. In Mark chapter 5, go there with me. He did it for a woman. A woman who was sick for 12 long years. The Bible says she was sick with an issue of blood. Chapter 5 and verse 25 of the book of Mark. Read with me this evening. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood. How many years?
12.
How many years?
12.
12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Amen.
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 For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Amen.
And be whole of thy plagues.
Amen.
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 A certain woman, the Bible says. The Bible writer begins by saying a certain woman. Mark says a certain woman. I said Mark says a certain woman. This woman had no name. This woman was not important to Mark at the beginning of his writing here to even be given a name. This woman seemed to be a persona non grata. This woman, a certain woman, came who had been suffering with an issue of blood for 12 long years. She was a certain woman, a nobody, because she was bleeding. Are you with me? I say she was bleeding. You ladies, you understand what I'm talking about. You gentlemen, you understand what I'm talking about. She was bleeding for 12 long years, and in that condition, she was accursed. She was in an accursed condition because she was unclean by Levitical law, bleeding, an unclean woman. Therefore, it was not of any value to mention her name because that was not important. She was really just another ostracized, accursed woman. Who had been looking for help. Is there somebody here tonight you are looking for help? Looking for help? Looking for hope? Looking for peace? Looking for meaning in life? You are looking, searching, struggling. This woman has been looking for help. She has gone to doctors here and doctors there looking for help. Perhaps you are a young woman, you are looking for love, and you have been through the hands of Tom, Dick, Harry, and his brother. Oh, have mercy now tonight. You are not a bad person, but you are looking for love. But up to tonight, you have not yet found it. You have not yet found it. This woman went looking, doctor here and doctor there. Perhaps there were some good, honest doctors she would have seen, and perhaps there would have been some quack doctors she would have seen. Are you with me? But at the end of the day, the Bible says she was not getting any better. She was getting worse. Every new year, you make all those resolutions. You're going to stop this, stop that, and stop the next. But instead of stopping, you are adding more destructive habits. Now, am I talking to somebody here tonight? Instead of getting better, she was getting worse. And she had spent all her money. She was now out of money. And perhaps since she was out of money, she could no longer visit the doctors. You with me? Perhaps since she was now out of money, she could no longer visit those doctors because she had no money to pay for those doctor visits and to buy those prescribed drugs. Perhaps she had gone through conventional medicine. Perhaps she had gone through traditional bush medicine, etc. But all of those things failed. She was now in a helpless, hopeless condition. She had been going on with this for 12 long years, and now therefore she's weak, would have lost perhaps hundreds of pounds or 50 or many more pounds. She is now weak. She can hardly walk now because she has been bleeding for so long. She has been suffering physically, and she has been suffering emotionally because she has been kicked out of her house, kicked out from her family, kicked out from the temple, kicked out of society, and outcast because she is Levitically unclean. Without hope, without help. Mark does not mention it, but somehow, through some means, the Bible says that she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. The word says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Like that woman, Rahab, I imagine, at that well where she would go to do her prostitute business, she heard about the God of Israel, heard about a God who turned water into blood. She heard about a God who took the lives of the firstborn of Pharaoh and all those in Egypt. She heard about a God who parted the Red Sea and caused his people to go on dry land. She heard about a God who brought water out of a rock. She heard about a God who fed his people with manna day by day. She heard about a God who was there with his people as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This woman heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. Heard about the teacher whom everywhere he went, he was doing good. Heard about the teacher. Heard about the healer who one day a leper came to him and said, "Lord, son of David, if you will, you can make me clean." She heard about this healer who dared to stretch his hand and to touch this leper who was accursed under the law. And those who touched him were become accursed and unclean under the law. But this healer dared to stretch his hand and to touch this leprous man and to say, "I will be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy left. She heard about Jesus. I said she heard about Jesus. She heard about a man who fed over 5,000 with just a few loaves and fishes. She heard about Jesus. And faith. Hallelujah. Faith. Faith. Hold of this woman. And she determined that I must get into the presence of Jesus. I must get an audience with this healer. And if I can't get an audience, I'll be but satisfied to but touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. I'll be but satisfied to but touch the hem of his garment tonight. Jesus Christ is saying, if you are able to but touch the hem of his garment, if you come to him tonight by faith, as weak as you are, as struggling as you are, whatever condition you are in tonight, whether you are a drug addict tonight, whether you are a wife beater tonight, whether you are an adulterer tonight, whether you are just somebody living wildly tonight, Christ is saying to you, if you come to him tonight and by faith just touch by the hem of his garment, you shall be made whole. Do you want wholeness tonight? Yes. Well, there is wholeness in Jesus tonight. I say there is wholeness in Jesus tonight. And so that woman, as I race on quickly, that woman tried to be as invisible as possible. Because she dared not be too visible. After all, she was unclean. I don't know how, but somehow she mustered up the strength and the courage to make her way to the presence of Jesus. Perhaps she fully covered herself and tried to disguise herself and was able to get through the crowd, through those disciples, and to get as close to Jesus as to but touch the hem of his garment. And by faith, I can see that woman reaching. She's reaching and just but touch the hem of his garment. And when that woman's hand touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, something like electricity went up and down her spine. I said something like electricity went up and down her spine. Bible says immediately. The Bible says immediately. The Bible says immediately. The flow of blood was dried up. It was dried up. Immediately. I said immediately. Salvation is available now. I said salvation is available tonight. Jesus gives it immediately. I said he gives it immediately. We don't have to wait for tomorrow to get it. We don't have to do any works to get it. He gives it immediately. The minute we reach out to him saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me for my sins. Jesus forgives and cleanses from all unrighteousness. He does it immediately. The issue of blood was dried up. And she was made whole again. Close. I'm beginning to get a kind of a... Mark started by identifying her as a certain woman. Jesus identifies her as a child of God. She was a certain woman, but now the Bible says Jesus addressed her daughter. Amen? Daughter. You may have come in here as a certain woman. May have come in here as a certain man, a certain boy, a certain girl. But tonight, God is saying, you can become a child of the King of Heaven. You can leave here tonight, not as a certain woman, but as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Amen? You can leave here tonight as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Because he offers salvation to you tonight. He is saying, like that woman who was made whole, I can heal your brokenness tonight. Like Humpty Dumpty who sat upon a wall and fell and had a great fall and was broken up in pieces, Christ is saying, even though man fell and was broken up in pieces, I am able to put the pieces back together again. He can give meaning to your life tonight. He can give hope to your life tonight. I was 17 years when Jesus stepped into my life. Young people, I was 17 years when Jesus gave hope to my life and gave meaning to my life. I was out there in the world in a home of alcoholics and drug addicts. Are you listening to this preacher tonight? I was out there in the world in a home of alcoholics and drug addicts. At 17 years old, I used to smoke my spliff. Well, you don't know what I'm talking about. I used to smoke my 10-piece. Looking for meaning in life. Looking for joy. Looking for happiness. But finding that when the head was gone, whatever euphoria I had was also gone. running after parties here and parties there, but finding that when the music stopped, whatever fun I thought I was having, that fun was gone. And I still had to face the troubles of my life, looking everywhere except to God, until Jesus found me. I said, until Jesus found me. Until Jesus broke through my preoccupation. Jesus found me and broke through and broke into my mind and brought me under conviction and conversion and revealed to me that I will continue to fail if I keep looking in those things for joy and happiness and meaning and purpose, and informed me that I could only find it in Jesus. And I surrendered my life to Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about some 40 odd years ago. Surrendered my life to Jesus. And I could tell you tonight that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I do not have to look for a high, for I'm always living on high. Come, help me somebody tonight. For I don't know about you, but I am living on high. For in Christ Jesus, the word says to me that I... This is what he wants to do tonight.
Second verse says, now all the king's horses and all the king's men,
but Jesus can.
Yes, they try, but they couldn't bring.
I said, but Jesus can.
Yes, which shattered all his dreams.
But Jesus can tonight.
Oh, so if ever you see.
Is there a Humpty Dumpty here tonight? Jesus can put your life back together.
Or anybody again. Else who's had a fall.
Yes, Jesus can put your life back together.
Tell them
again tonight.
He's mend and broken pieces.
Oh, Jesus is here.
And he'll be there.
He's here to fix it tonight.
It all.
If you have lifted your hands, let's stand with me tonight. Let's stand with me tonight, saying, Jesus, fix me tonight.
Like
put me back together tonight. Just stand where you are tonight as we pray.
And if you've been broken from a fall, oh, remember that he
Jesus.
Yes,
he wants to put you back together tonight.
Oh, and he'll be there to fix it all. Yes, he will.
We bow our heads now as you pray.
He's love and also
loving Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the hope that we have found in your word. That in Jesus there is hope. As he healed that woman and took care of her brokenness, he is able to do the same for us tonight. Oh Lord God, by faith, we reach out to you tonight in the name of Jesus, claiming healing for our brokenness tonight. Saying, Jesus, we are sorry. Sorry for our disobedience. Sorry for our sins. Jesus, forgive us tonight. Wash us, cleanse us with your blood, Jesus. We accept you as our Savior, as our Master, as our God and our Lord tonight. Through your Spirit, O Jesus, seal our decisions, we pray. In Jesus' name, let everyone say, amen. Amen. May God bless you real good as you go tonight. See you again tomorrow night. Amen. Amen. See you again tomorrow night as we continue to study from God's Word. May God bless you real good as you go. Meet again tomorrow night.
Soon and very soon.
Should there be any mountains we must cross?